Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday, we continued with the answer for the seventh question, so listen, because this is a long one.
Please stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Now, as we continue here, Mary offered two turtle doves, which was permissible as a sin offering, which was to be offered. Now, Leviticus chapter 12, verses 2 through 6 gives us the specifics. There Moses is told by God, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days." Now again, if Mary is unclean 7 days, then she is a sinner, okay? So understand that the uncleanliness is a result of the fall of man. Had Mary borne children, there had never been anybody had fallen, then the curse would not be for Eve and all the ladies after that that bear children to have pain in childbearing. That wouldn't have happened. So that's just one of the outcomes of sin and our depravity. So if a woman have conceived sin and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days according to the days of separation. For her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised, and she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. Now again, she couldn't touch any hallowed thing, and that would corrupt the thing. So she was a sinner saved by the grace of God. Now she is blessed and greatly blessed. We're not dishonoring her. We're saying that as all men, she was born a sinner without Jesus Christ, and she needed a Savior. The only one that was born into this world without sin was Jesus Christ himself. God come in the flesh, conceived in the Virgin, directed by his deity. Now, in verse 5 there of Leviticus 12, it says, "But if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation, and shall continue in the blood for purifying 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest." Now, I don't think it's shallow that God provided for all to be able to worship. He knew that there would be varying degrees of ability and capability, and so he acted accordingly. Now let's listen to the listener's second question. If God blessed the widow for giving all that she had, then couldn't this be understood that he means for us to give all that we have spiritually, no matter the amount, and he can take it from there? I read about the Shunammite woman after hearing a preacher who spoke on Asa, forgetting God after a while and trusting only in men near the end of his life. It correlated with my Shunammite woman's story. She didn't stop when her kid became ill until she went all the way to the top. Gehazi wasn't enough. She wanted Elijah. I want to teach my kids in Sunday school to hear real-life stories of people who came to God on their level. They didn't wait to be great. They started where they were. This sacrifice reading this morning is not by accident. I was hoping to verify that I understood rightly. Okay, now I say this to her in my reply. Let us remember, the woman gave two mites. And she did it of the abundance of her heart. It reflected what was in her heart. It cost her something. Yet, she did not think of the cost as being much, as she had a heart for God. It wasn't the cost, it was the heart of love that was important to her, and trying to show her love in any way she could. When it comes to the relationship with God, nothing, and I mean nothing, is above His name. Not even family. All sacrifices are secondary to the relationship with God. One both tithes and offers out of their love for God. To do it only in obligation and not in love loses the benefit for the giver. How happy it has made me to give unto my children when they were little a gift. Whether it's Christmas time, their birthday, or just a gift. It was a great joy to see the look on their face when they gave me a present. And usually, being a child and not having much money, what they gave me wasn't much. As a matter of fact, many times what they might have given you, a child given to daddy or to mama, and we've seen the little one that comes in with the little thing they've pulled up out of the ground because it has a few leaves on it, you know, a little sunflower or something like that or something likened to that. They think, oh, this will please them, and we took them into mama's little kid, and oh, she just made it over them so big, and yet she was just being kind to us, you know. They weren't the kind of flowers that she would have wanted to receive, but yet she did enjoy receiving them because they realized the joy it gave their children in giving it to them. And so it was always a joy to see the look on my children's face when they would give me a present. They did something for their dad that for them was of great value, although it might have just been pennies in my pocket. And what can we do for God that is of great value? Well, in the same matter, it's the love in our heart. And that should be behind all of our giving in time, our talents, and our tithes. Tithing is never a problem for someone who truly loves God. Their biggest concern is being able to give more. I believe what you're speaking about is someone loving God with all their heart. And that is a choice. You know, a weightlifter may set a goal. And he says, you know what, I'm starting out, I want to lift, I want to reach a goal of 200 pounds, and the day comes he reaches it. Then he changes to a new goal. He wants to reach 300 pounds. And it takes a while, may take a year, but he reaches it. And you see, when they first started, they couldn't lift 200 pounds. They might not have lifted 100 pounds. And now, through commitment, effort, giving their best, making that choice, paying the price, they reach the goal. It may be a student wanting to accomplish academically near the top of the class, if not the top. And so he's an average intellect at best. And you know, when they test him, things aren't easy for him. He has to work hard. He's got to study 1 hour for every 30 minutes somebody else studies. And yet, he gives the time, he gives the hours to accomplish the goal. But you see, whereas it may take years to accomplish a goal, or just a few years. I mean, if you're saving for a big trip, maybe you're saving to buy something really big. It takes time. But there is a plan to accomplish the goal. So in like manner, some of these were obsessed with a goal. I should be obsessed with knowing the person of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I should seek to know him better than I know my lovely wife of 48 years. And you know, I don't want to know her less. I want to know God more. Obedience is an act of love and trust. You know, when you break the trust of your job, the trust of your marital relationship, the trust of the parent and child relationship, it's hard to gain back, and you got to work at it. You just can't have the attitude, well, they need to trust me. No, you need to work to earn it, have a way to earn it, and have a commitment to stay trustworthy. So obedience is an act of love and trust. And you trust God because you know that you can't outgive the Lord. Reward comes after the work, not before the work. We need, before engaging in the war of life, in which our adversary seeks to devour us, trust in God so much that we'll do his will, his way, in his time, regardless of the circumstances that we face along the way, knowing that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. As marriage should be a lifelong commitment of the heart, with divorce eliminated as an option, so too our relationship should be a lifelong commitment with retreat eliminated from our vocabulary. If I hit a road of persecution along the way, it will never, never, never equal the suffering my Lord paid for my sin. I want an enduring and endearing love for God. And I hope that answers this dear listener's question, because that was, it was a long question, but I thought it was a good question. And I want to thank her for sending that to us.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.